Today is Wednesday, December 18th. This is the women's Chumash Shir. We're in the middle of Parshat Vayera, Perek Yutchet, beginning with Pasuk Chaf Gimel.
Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Bereshit Perek Yutchet. And we're up to Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And what I would like to do today is just to begin to read the unit from Chaf Gimel through Lamed Gimel in the Chumash, and then go to the source sheet, which has the Chumash again, but it's divided into five different sections, because there are five different type of requests and different answers provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to each request. So just to get a flow of what's happening, the Pasuk states in Chaf Gimel, Vayigash Avraham Vayomar, Avraham approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Ha'af Tispet Tzadikim Rasha, are you going to destroy Tzadikim together with Rishaim? Ula Yesh Chamishim Tzadikim B'toch Ha'ir, perhaps there will be 50 righteous people. Ha'af tispeh v'lo tisal makom, will you destroy and not forgive them? Lema'an chamishim hatzadikim asher bekirba, on account of the 50 righteous people, will you not forgive the rest of the city? Chalila lecha me'asot davar kazeh, kavadavar hazeh, God forbid that you should do something like that. Lahamit tzadik im rasha, Vahaya katzadik harasha. In which case, if you're not going to listen to me, a tzadik will wind up the same thing as a rasha. Chalilalach, you can't do that. Hashofet kol haaretz lo yaaseh mishpat. Will the judge of the entire world abandon his principles of justice and just kill everybody? Vayomer Hashem im emtza bistom chamishim tzadikim b'toch ha'ir v'nasati l'chol ha'makam b'avuram. I will forgive the entire city. Vayan Avraham vayomar, and Avraham continued to speak. Hineinu ha'alti l'daber el Hashem v'anochi afar v'efer. I'm nothing but dirt. Ula yachsurun chamishim tzadikim chamisha. Perhaps if there are five less tzaddikim, hasashchis b'chamisha et kol ha'ir, we do destroy the entire city because there are five less. There are 45. Vayom elo ashchis imem tzasham arba'im v'chamisha. Vayom osef od daber elav vayomar umaliyat umalayimatzun sham arba'im. Vayom elo ese barvor arba'im. I won't do it if there are only 40. Please don't be angry at me, HaKadosh Baruch, if I continue to speak.
I
have one more last request. Vayomer lo ashchit bavur asara. So everybody believes that Avraham is simply playing a little game and trying to push HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much tolerance would he exhibit. If there are 50, I won't destroy the whole city. How about 45? Then I call, okay, won't do 45. How about 40? Okay, I won't do it for 40. So it's like our little kids asking for something and then trying to push the envelope as far as we can, as far as they can with us, until we say, that's it, folks, that's it. Good. So there is, other than that exercise of pushing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there doesn't seem to be any dramatic differences along the way. So I want to share with you today Rabbi Kanatopsky, Zichronim Levracha's assessment that each each request was a different type of request, and each response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unique to the number which Avraham asked for. And if you now take the sheet which I distributed, I broke it down into the categories of what is happening here. So if you take page number 1, it says by Pasuk Chavav that Vayomer Hashem im emtsa bisdom 50 tzadikim betoch ha'ir v'nasati lechol hamakom ba'avuram. That's the first phrase. Then Abraham in letter B, Vayan Abraham Vayomer Hino Adaber V'anochi Afar Va'efer. This is the only time that he mentioned this, when it's 45. He says, I am nothing but dirt and ashes. Ula yachsarun chamishim tzadikim chamisha. Now go to page 2. Look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. Vayomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say, V'nasati l'chol hamakom ba'avuram. I will forgive everybody on account of those 50. Doesn't say that. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Lo ashchit. I won't destroy ba'avur arba'im v'chamisha. Avraham continues. And he asks for 40. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He doesn't say lo ashchit. Vayomer lo e'eseh. Ba'avur ha'arba'im. And the same thing is true with 30. Lo e'eseh ba'im emtsa sham shloshim. Then in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Avraham asks for 20. And God goes back to Vayomer lo ashchit ba'avur ha'esrim. And then when he goes to 10, again HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Vayomer lo ashchit. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not particularly interested in literary style, and that I have to change my verbs just not to repeat the same thing 5 times. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. And if he says one time V'nasati l'chol hamakom ba'avuram, then twice lo ashchit, then twice lo e'eseh, and then again lo ashchit, there's got to be some significance to this particular style. And Rabbi Kanatopsky suggests the following. Rabbi Kanatopsky suggests the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned about what the tzaddikim will do vis-a-vis the Rishaim. According to Chazal, Sdom was comprised of 5 major counties. And the way the 50 tzaddikim were presented by Avraham is that there were 10 tzaddikim in each county for a grand total of 50. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to weigh what impact will these tzaddikim have on the rest of the town. On the rest of the town. There are 2 possibilities. One, they will exhibit enormous influence and accomplish a major objective, namely to reform the people in that particular town, to reform them, to change them, to convert them from Rishaim to Tzadikim, to no longer have on the law, a book on the law, that hosting a guest is against the law in Stone. They're going to change the laws. No filibusters. Republicans and Democrats will vote to change the law. That's one possibility. However, as we will see Ibn Ezra's remark at the end of the unit, the bare minimum per county that has that possibility is 10 in each city. With less than 10, there is no expectation on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part that these 10 will be able, that less than that, if they're only 9 or 8 or whatever it is, they can never succeed in convincing the majority in order to what? To accept their mission. Just give me one second. One second. They cannot. Why does the number 10 suddenly play such a significant role? So I'm going to work backwards here and tell you what Rashi says, why Avraham did not ask for less than 10. So many know this. Rashi says, because with less than 10, the world didn't survive. During the time of Noah, there were four men, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Yafes. Each one of them had a wife, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presence number 9. And that wasn't enough to convince anybody in that generation to change their ways. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? He destroyed the entire world. That's what Rashi says. So he knew the answer. I can't ask for less than 9, because the answer was already provided in history. Ibn Ezra says no. Why no less than 10? He cites the Mishnah in Masechet Megillah, which tells us that you cannot read the Torah unless there are 10 people present. There cannot be Chazarat Hashatz unless there are 10 people present. There can't be Birchat Kohanim unless there are 10 people present. What is the nickname, the common denominator? Davar Shebikdusha. Ein Davar Shebikdusha Pachot Me'asara. There are no holy things recited with less than 10 people. So, before I continue though, I just want to say that today's Shi'ur is being dedicated by Alana Clark. Eleanor Clark. In honor, in memory of her father, whose yahrzeit it was or is, Rafael Ben Tzipora VeAvraham. We thank you, and I'm sure that your father will be incredibly proud of your unbelievable commitment to Talmud Torah. You come to every single shir that the shir offers, you're there, and it has to be somewhat an influence of his teaching to you, and that is really incredible. And hopefully our learning together will serve as a zechut for his neshama. So the Gemara asks, where do I learn out this rule that ein davar shebikdusha pachot me'asara? How do I know I can't say kedusha with less than 10 people? Answers the Gemara, from the Meraglim. The Meraglim. How many Meraglim were there? 10. Nice. Right. So we find a common phrase by the Meraglim, the Gemara says that the pasuk says he badlu mitoch ha'edah hazot. Moshe tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, separate yourself from this gang. And how many people are in that gang? 10. And it says the word toch. Well, by sanctifying God's name, it says, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Well, it says the word toch here, and it says the word toch there. So that's what's called a gzeir shava in the Gemara's parlance. You find a common word, so you apply a detail in A to B, and that's it. Said the Rav, there's got to be a little more to that than the fact that the word toch appears by the Meraglim and here. How many Jews were there at that time? How many Jews? So the Torah never gives us an accurate number. We know there were 603,550 men between 20 and 60. That we know for a shot. Torah reports that. 603,550 men between 20 and 60. That means there were equal number of women, lots of children under 20, several senior citizens over 60. So we speculate somewhere around 2-3 million Jews at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. All these people stood at Sinai and heard God proclaim the Aseret HaDibrot. All of these people were at the Yam Suf and witnessed divine revelation like no one else has ever experienced. And 10 people convinced them not to go to Israel. 10 people. Can you imagine? 10 people. They had been slaves for 210 years, traveling in the desert for over a year, and now, what? We're finally going to reach our destiny. Oh, there's some big giants there, this and that. Look at what 10 people can do to influence 2.5 million people. 10 people devoted to a cause. Says the halakha, interpreted by the Rav. If 10 people can convince a generation of people to abandon God, trust in God, not go to Eretz Yisrael, 10 people committed to Kiddushah can have an impact on the rest of society as well. And therefore, the Gemara says, Ein davar shebikdushah pachot me'asara is learned out from the Moran. Says Ibn Ezra. That's exactly what's working here in this text. If there are 10 tzaddikim equally scattered in the 5 cities, I really believe that these 10 will be able to convince, influence the others to abandon their ways of cruelty. 10 people can do it. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say when there are 50? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? V'nasati l'chol ha-makom ba'avuram. What does that mean? I will forgive what? I will forgive them. No punishments, no nothing. I will forgive them. Why? Because I really believe that they have the capacity one day to convert an evil society into a just, fair society. Abraham now moves on. There are only 9 in each city. Only 9. 5 cities. If you take AP calculus, right? 45 divided by 9 is 5. 5 cities, 9 people in each city. So Avraham already knows, as does God, that 9 cannot convince the masses to completely change their laws. They cannot. They certainly can't reform the people themselves. However, they might say, you know, we love this type of behavior where we're cruel to guests. But we're not going to assassinate somebody who is nice to an adult, to a guest. You know, we'll allow righteousness to exist, even though we are not interested in that. But at least we have a modicum of respect for somebody who what? Who can tolerate evil. Tolerate evil. Fine. And Avraham says, I know very well what living in a society is where they cannot tolerate evil. And they feel they have to eliminate every resident who believes in honesty and decency and justice. How do I know? Because Anochi Afar Va'efer, says the Medrash, Rashi quotes it. What happened to Avraham during the course of his lifetime? It's not quoted in the text itself. But where did Avraham get into trouble? And every little child in school knows this particular midrash. What happened when, where was he thrown into? Into the Kishon Eish. What happens when you're thrown into a fire? You become ashes. And who else challenged Avraham at another occasion? Who else challenged Avraham? Who else challenged Avraham? Again, it's not necessarily in the text. Take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Anochi afar v'efer in Pasuk Chavav. Ukvar Hayiti ra'ui lihiyot afar al yedei hamilachim. Now that battle is documented in the text. Take a look at the Rashi. You have the Rashi over there? No, it's not. So look in the Chumash, in Pasuk Chavav. So Abraham waged battle against the five mighty kings. Remember? He only had 318 people in his brigade. And he had to fight five powerful kings. So what could have happened to Abraham? I would have been afar. And when Nimrod threatened me, either you abandon your monotheism, Narishkai, or I'm going to throw you into the Kishon Aish. Throw me into the Kishon Aish, and I will spare. So I know what it means personally to live in a society where not only are they not good, they have no tolerance for what? For a good person either. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what happens if I can't find 10 Rabbi Yishalot, but I can find 9? Well, less than 9. So at least those, it says something about society that they allow 9 tzaddikim in each town to exist. They didn't kill them all out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what's his response? I am not going to forgive all of them. I am not going to destroy them completely. What do I mean? Lo ashchit bavur ha'ba'ayim v'chamisha. But punished, they will be. Punished, they will be for their inappropriate behavior. But I will not eliminate them completely because they tolerate the existence of righteousness. Yes. Because that's why I'm saying each step represents a different type of request. It's not just going down numbers as if he's trying to score a touchdown. He's at the 50, he's at the 45, he's at the 40. He's going all the way. He could go all the way. Len Berman. He could go. That's not what this is. That's what I'm trying to show. This is not just a reduction of numbers. Each number represents a different category. Yes.
After he gets to 45, which is interesting that he went 5 and then going up to 5. So does that mean that he was taking each city as an individual city?
Yes.
That
in fact, all throughout this thing, it's going to be focusing on the fact that there are 5 cities.
So if he eliminates 10. Then it would be one entire city that is...
Perhaps. Well, that's going to be the next request. The next 2, actually. Yes?
It's interesting that this is coming from Abraham, who knows the power of what one can do. This is what he did. He went around proselytizing to people.
Correct.
So why did he stop?
Okay, we're not up to 10 yet. Okay, then you'll answer the question, and I'll ignore it.
Okay.
Because it's a good question.
Good.
He just says, yes, I will ashrit bavur arba in v'chamisha. He says that.
Right, but for him to go down, he doesn't know how many there are, right?
That's
so
correct.
But he keeps going down without a response.
No, he does it every time there is a response by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, every single line.
Right, but not in terms of the number.
Yes.
No,
bavur ha'esrin. Bavur ha'shoshin.
There actually are.
We don't know how many. Correct. Yes. What? Where are they? That's Chazal. Medrash operates with that throughout its discussion of stone. There were 5 counties. Kacha Omer HaMidrash. You don't want to accept the Midrash? We can move on. But everybody accepts it in trying to explain what's running through Abraham's mind. Let's move to the next number. Next number says, Vayosef od l'daber elav. Vayomar. And that's why also it has to say He continued to speak. He continued to speak. Because each time he's introducing a new thought. What does he say? Ulai yimatzun sham arba'im. Oh, very nice. Arba'im means four out of the five cities have at least 10. Four out of the five cities have 10. So when you have a majority of the counties of a given city,
100.
How, because then it would represent nothing different than 9. It's the same. We have to introduce something new. So there are 40 here. That means four counties have 10 tzaddikim. Well, if the majority of the counties of a particular city might succeed in reforming the residents of their county, what might happen to the minority under those circumstances? What might happen to the minority? People are followers. And when the majority changes their way of behavior, sometimes the minority will what? Will change as well. And there is a possibility that what might happen, not only might four reform them, but what might happen? All five might be swayed along those lines. Chachmarco says, interesting. Vayomer lo e'ese. What does that mean? I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to destroy. I'm not even going to punish. I will do nothing. And what? Wait. Let me see the impact that these four cities, with each endowed with 10 tzaddikim, what they can accomplish. And after I give it some time, I will then revisit the situation. Because there is a principle, not only in halakha, holchin achar harov. We follow the majority in halachic dictates in so many situations, and society is that way as well. Most people are followers, not leaders. Most people. So if there are four out of five, lo e'eseh b'avur ha'arba'im, comes Avraham and pushes it a little further. Rabbeinu Shlomo, what happens if there are only 30? Three cities with 10 tzaddikim. Three cities. So it's not an overwhelming majority like 4 against 1, but it's still a majority, 3 against 2. And the way we operate in halakha is we follow the rov in a beit din when it's 2 against 1. 2 against 1. We follow the rove in a capital decision when it's 13 to 12, if it's to acquit. If it's to convict, you need 13 against 10. 12 against 11 to acquit. Whatever that's the details. But we accept a majority of 1. According to a d'oraita level, you have 3 pieces of meat. 2 in a pot, and another piece of meat fell in that was not kosher. I can't tell which is the kosher and which is the non-kosher. You're allowed to eat all 3. All 3. Because Rov says, every piece that I pick up, I say, oh, this is the kosher one. Second one I picked up and ate, this is the kosher one. Third one, this is also the kosher one. I ate the non-kosher already. What can I do? Too bad. So the halakha follows rov. So Avraham pushes the envelope of rov and says, how about if there are 30? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response here too? Lo e'eseh ba'avur ha'shloshim. You know what? I'm going to wait and see. Let me see the impact that 3 cities can have on the other 2. If they reform, I forgive all of them. If they don't, I punish the guilty and spare the innocent. Comes along Avraham and pushes, goes to another category. Ulayu matzun sham esrim. Only 2 cities with what? do sin with 10. I have no confidence that a minority will be able to convince the other three city, other counties, to accept Derech HaYashar. I have no such confidence. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Lo Ashkit. Okay. There are some who are goody-goodies. I don't destroy the whole Sodom. But there are going to be lots of people who are going to be punished. Because those other three that don't have the required, the requisite number of tzaddikim, I know they are never going to be reformed, and therefore I'm going to have to administer punishment. I can't forgive them all. I can't destroy all of them. But lo ashchi ba'avur ha'esrim. And the same thing is true if there are only 10. 10 means only one city has 10 tzaddikim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Abe, I'll go along once more. And lo ashchit ba'avur ha'asarah. So there are three separate responses by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For 50, it is v'nasati l'chol ha'makom ba'avuram. For 45, 20 and 10, it's lo ashchit ba'avur ha'chamishim v'arba'ah, and so on and so forth. And for 30, and for 40 and 30, it's lo e'eser, I'll play a waiting game. Brilliant observation on Rabbi Kanatovsky's part. Again, not one parshan in the Chumash says this. This is so original, so creative, so creative. Okay. Just one second, I'll take questions in a second. In fact, YU, in one of their YU Torah slots, published a list for rabbis, the 50 or 60 best drashot books that you can avail yourself to help you prepare drashot. And this was not on it. I know. So I wrote them an email and I said, Rabbi Kanatovsky is one of your own. He was a Rebbe in the high school and the college for 40 years before he made Aliyah in 1973. And you missed his book called Night of Watching. It only has one entry for every parsha in Bereishis, everyone in Shemot, and everyone in Vayikra, and that's it. The family has not published anything else on the Chumash. There are 25 years of drashot on every single parsha from Bereishis until the Zohar Bracha. Every single parsha. Collecting dust somewhere. It's just, what a shame. What an absolute shame. Because he is one of the greatest darshanim I have ever seen. So original, so creative. And then, yeah, question.
Yeah, if the Rebbe would have been able to convince them to
change,
right, why did he do it so now?
What?
Wasn't the Rebbe able to convince them?
Because maybe no, what you need is a little kick in the pants sometimes to get your act together. And who's going to provide that kick in the pants to them? Abraham. If you allow me, I'm going to each city in stone, we'll marshal those tzaddikim and put the challenge to them. Let's see how they respond. Yes?
Can you just repeat again 45?
The 45 means that there were 9 in each city. 9 in each city means you cannot reform any individual city, but the city allows 9 tzaddikim to exist. And if you demonstrate at least tolerance for evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not eradicate the city completely. He will punish those who are guilty, but not eradicate the city completely. And that's why he uses the expression, Lo Ashkit. Lo Ashkit, Bavur, Haba'im V'chamisha. Yes.
Here's the temperature to lower the air. So it's Abraham who stops the conversation.
Correct.
Not God. In other words, he could have.
No, it's not. I told you this already. I'm going to explain it to you right now. And here is one of the greatest pieces of drush I have ever heard in my whole life. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. After the 10. Vayele Hashem ka'asher kila ledaber Avraham. God left when he was finished talking with Avraham.
Wait, is that how it's
that's the way it translated. Vayelech Hashem, when he finished talking with Abraham. And he got. He left.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the when Abraham's finished.
No, no.
So if Rashi says...
Rashi says because why was he finished? Because he knew that less than 10 is not going to work. I explained why Ibn Ezra said why less than 10 is not going to work. Suggested Rabbi Kanatopsky. Abraham had one more request. One more request. If there is one tzaddik in all of the five counties, one, you mean to tell me you're going to destroy the one tzaddik with all the rishonim? He was going to repeat his first question. Ha'af tisper tzaddikim rasha. Rabbi Yishlach, one tzaddik you're going to allow him to die? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipated that question and checked out in advance. It never, ever says in the text, when Moshe speaks to God 50 times, and Yishayahu speaks to him, and Yechezkel, never, ever says that God left when he finished speaking. Of course he left when he finished speaking. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing now? He went to the press conference when they introduced Garrett Cole. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at the big ball arch out in the South Bronx, Yankee Stadium, as the Yankees introduced Garrett Cole as their new pitcher. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you mean, Vayelech Hashem? Said Rabbi Kenneth Thompson. He left before Avram had a chance to answer that question. To ask that question. Why did he leave? Because he had no answer for that question. Sometimes tzaddikim do die with Rishayim. And our finite minds cannot understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes such a decision. That people who appear to us as incredibly righteous, and they are swept along with the tide of Rishayim. We want to ask that. We ask that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every time we see something like that. Every time a little baby or a child dies of cancer, we turn to the Rabbi Yishlon. I'm sure you do. Rabbi Yishlon, what do you want? What is that shulde? What can this child be guilty of? That he deserved to die after 5 years old? What did he do? Never get an answer. Abraham was about to ask that question. Vayelech Hashem ka'asher kila l'daber Avraham. When he's finished, I'm out of here, says the Rabbi Yishlach. Because I know he's going to hack me with one more kasha, and I can't give you the answer. What brilliant, brilliant read of this pasuk. Brilliant read of this particular pasuk.
When Moshe speaks of
Rachel, you can tell it to your father. He'll appreciate it. Yes.
When Moshe speaks to God, he says, please let me go. Let me has the word Evrana.
Yes.
And what does Hashem say there? He says something about that.
No, he says, Al Tosef Daber Elai Ol Badavar Hazeh.
So maybe I
don't want to hear anymore.
Had I asked it, maybe I would have let you go. I'm wondering where that is.
That's perhaps, it's an interesting association. I didn't think of it in that context.
I can't ask that last question because I don't want to answer. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do, who what?
In other words, when Abraham, he doesn't want to hear Abraham's question, but maybe with Abraham's question, answer
yes, that's exactly it. He's going to, Avram's going to be there to inspect an answer. I can't give you one, so I'm not going to listen to the question. Correct, yes.
It's even stronger here because we just had the experience of seeing where God's waiting, or God's there, or God's still there, or however we interpret it.
What does that mean?
Right before the conversation, we had this experience of God was waiting for Avram. In other words, it's very wrong that God left, because you're seeing the contrast of where Hashem was waiting for him.
Good. Hashem Odeno Omeid al Avraham, and now he's gone. Correct. Very good. I would add one other thought based on the last three words of the pasuk. The Avraham shav limikomo. Simple interpretation, it means that Avraham went home. That's it, went to his place. And I would ask the same question. What do you mean? Of course he went home. Where else is he going to go? So I would, it's drush, it's not the pshat. It means Avraham now returned to accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his name Makom. We call God often Makom, the place, Hamakom. Right? We say it by when you pay a shiva call, Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. We say it on Monday and Thursday when they read the Torah in a famous paragraph, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batzara B'Shivya, Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem. So the Rav once explained that the name Makom refers to a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in hiding. And you can't see him. You don't understand why certain things are happening. That's what the word Makom means. It was authored by Yechezkel. He calls Baruch Kibod Hashem Mimikomo, which means Mimikomo Hanistar. Yechezkel prophesies after the Churban HaMikdash. He's already on the way to Bavel, and he never knows if he's ever going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, because the Churban is about to unfold, and I'll never hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. As opposed to Yeshayahu, who prophesies during the first Beit HaMikdash, Milo, Chol Ha'aretz Kivodah, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu every place. I can come to the Beit HaMikdash every day and see and experience divine revelation. But Yechezkel, he has no idea when he's ever going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So his parting words are Baruch Kivod Hashem, I will acknowledge the honor of God, the glory of God, even if I can't see Him. Even if something will happen which is incomprehensible from my point of view. So I suggest that Avraham shav limkomo, having been denied the opportunity to ask that last question, he somehow suspects why HaKadosh Baruch Hu checked out and doesn't want to answer that question any longer. And now he has to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mikomo. No longer speaking to him, direct access. No, just believe, maintain your faith and belief, but no opportunity to get clarity, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided, I am hiding from you at this particular time. Yes?
Also, Shalom Mikomo could be like, know your place, that he came back to his own place where he is immortal and God.
Beautiful.
Is a
beautiful interpretation. So. Beautiful. Write it down. Yeah. Send it in. Someplace. Excellent.
What about the fact that he realized that he didn't need to go to stone because there wasn't enough there? So he,
who?
Like you said, he said he would go there and get them and kick at the pen.
Yeah, if he found the 50 tzaddikim,
right.
If he found the 40.
But here it seems there aren't.
Correct? And he's not going to stand around and watch the destruction.
So that would be another way to...
That's correct. Yes. Yes.
God saved.
Yeah. What?
Ultimately, God just saved what? The words of the saving the one.
Correct.
That
is correct. Perhaps.
Well, he left.
But, good. We will see. Good. When we get to the Lot story, we will see. We'll try to understand what happened to his wife, why she became salt. Yeah, that's not a medrash. That's in the text itself. So we have to see. But that's a good suggestion. That's a good suggestion. Yeah. Yes.
I think it's interesting though to see that God left before let him say that. But with Moshe, he said he let him know right off you know, at the top of he could have said something like that to Abraham.
He could have, you're right. But he chose not to. But it's a good point. Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly, Har'eini na et kvodecha. I want to know how you work. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you will never know. You might understand in retrospect why I did certain things, but you will never understand it as it's unfolding. And that's the imagery of Ra'ita et Achora. You'll see my backside, but you'll never see my front. Meaning, as events are unfolding, you're not going to understand it. Perhaps afterwards you'll understand why I did something in retrospect. Correct. But he could have answered that. He didn't. I don't know why. Yes?
The next time that God talks to Abraham was during the Akedah. So that ties in with what you said, because maybe that's what gave him the strength to do something that was so difficult, because he didn't understand. And he went back to that.
That's possible. If the Akedah was the next story, I would buy into that a little more. But there was like tons of material in between. And we'll see. Maybe when we get to that in about 2 years, you'll throw it out again. But we have a lot of material to get to. We have 3 chapters to get to the Akedah. And that takes us time. Good. Please take, for example, take page number 3 for a minute. Just want to fill in some individual thing. So, remember this analysis? It's really good. So I'm going to quote my Rebbe, the Rev, once when he knew he gave a really good share once in Moriah on a Tuesday night, explained the difficult Mordechai and Rashi. He said, Fadem b'chverta schnapps. I'm worth a l'chaim for this year. I'll say that right after this one. It's a good one. Okay, please look at page number 3. Take a look at Radak. An va'anochi afar va'efer. Va'anochi afar va'efer. Af al pi sha'anochi afar va'efer lidaber k'neged kivodo u'k'neged mishpato. Even though I am nothing but dirt. Right? He's not Ajax, who's stronger than dirt. He is nothing but dirt. Nothing but dirt. Low butt. Now, and therefore, what question might you ask about my behavior? I'm a little aggressive. Am I not? I'm a little chutzpahdik, the way I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo basi elalumo duladas mishpato ehu. I want to know how he operates. So I know I'm a little fly on the wall in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I have to get to know how he operates. And if it means being a little chutzpahdik, I am prepared to do it nonetheless. So Anochi Afar Ve'efer is not a reference, according to Radak, to the episode of the Kifshan Ha'esh being thrown into the fire, the possibility of being killed by the 5 kings. But it's a self-analysis, knowing that any human being against HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nothing but Afar Ve'efer. I seem to be a little aggressive, but I am being aggressive. I acknowledge it because I feel compelled to learn the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at Sfarno. Now, Sfarno, on the right-hand side of that page, if Radak is correct in his analysis, when should Avraham used the phrase Anochi Afar Ve'efer? When should he have used the phrase?
Right at the very beginning.
Of course. As he's approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, L'bayin Yisraelim, I've been nothing but Afar Ve'efer. But, I want to know, HaShofet Kol Ha'aretz Lo Yaseh Mishpat? Ha'af Tispeh Tzadikim Rasha? Amar Ve'efer. Why did he only say that after the 50. Says Sfarno, Hineina ho'alti lidaber. Lish'ol, I have just begun to speak. Not just to speak, but to ask. I've just begun to make my request. Hasafek shahaya etzli b'inyan hamishpat ho'elohi. I am questioning about the ways in which God judges people. Now he gave me one answer. V'lo yaradati adayan l'sof kavanat divrei tshuvascha. What does that mean?
Understood completely.
Why not?
Response.
Why not?
Because it doesn't say.
Because I'm off of an Afer. What? Man can't understand even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does answer him something. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'nasati l'chol ha-makom ba'avuram, that really mean you're going to forgive 50 million Risha'im? Because there are 10 tzaddikim in each town? Is that what you really mean? Or you're hiding something from me? Which one is it? So when you gave me your first response, I'm still lacking clarity. Why am I lacking clarity? Because Anochi Afarba Eifer. I'm a human. And a human being cannot digest the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand it completely. Even every single Navi never had clarity when God spoke to them. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicate with every prophet?
In a
dream. He gives them images. The only one who had clarity was Moshe. Moshe. Ka'asher yidaber ish imreo. Like I'm talking to you. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe. But that was unique about Nevuas Moshe. Even Moshe is Upanai lo yira. That's correct. But when he said that, Moshe knew what it meant. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him before, he knew what it meant. That I'm only going to understand things in retrospect. Somebody else will give him some bizarre answer, and you have to figure out the riddles. So Avraham is acknowledging, what exactly do you mean? What does that mean? Good. That's what Sfarno contributes to that. Just move on for 1 second. Take a look on page number 4 for a second. So the Ibn Ezra that I cited to you is on the left-hand side of the page. Afal pisha chachmenu zanatiku, ein tfila bitzibur pachot me'asara. Gam zeh hapasuk yachzik yidei emunatenu. This pasuk here, why Avraham didn't ask for less than 10, will confirm our belief in Chazal's understanding that davar shepekdusha, Tfila B'tzibur, only takes place in the presence of 10. Now I'm going to tell you a little secret. It's going to get you very upset. Very upset. If you look at Caro, he writes black on white that the 10 have to be Anashim Zicharim B'nei Chorin. Men who are free, not slaves. Rambam never mentions the word Anashim. Doesn't mention the word Zicharim. Caro says Zicharim, male. Rambam never does. Just says you need 10 people who are free in order to count a minyan. And there are some scholars who believe that Rambam would say that women can count to a minyan. And it's based on the fact that the minyan, the idea of double, is learned out from V'nikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. I quoted you that pasuk. And the primary scenario of that pasuk is sanctifying God's name to be prepared to die Al Kiddush Hashem. Well, women are not expected to die al kiddush Hashem if the circumstances so dictate. Of course they are. So v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, where the pasuk of a minyan is, includes women. So it wouldn't be so shocking if that was Rambam's opinion. But apparently, Karo suspected that people might be saying that, and therefore he added the word zicharim. Don't tell that. Don't. I should have shut the tape recorder off. Yeah. Okay. Stop here. We'll continue next to Bach.
An hour and a half on the turnpike because the top level of the
bridge,
George Washington, is closed for icicles.
I know. So
it was, yeah. I
that's back
would
all the way back there.
I appreciate this shikah. My oldest grandson is in Yeshiva Katana in Queens.
Yes.
And the Rebbe writes a nachas note. If they ask a question, this is how he encourages them to ask the same question as the Ramban, the same question as Rav Shimshon Raphael.
And then it's it. That's great.
Isn't that
beautiful?
So motivating.
Of course.
They sit there and
that's
they
beautiful.
Write questions. I thought
beautiful.
You encourage us to question.
Yes, yes, I certainly do.
And they write
do.
It to the grandparents. Right?
Very nice.
Very smart.
So
right?
I sponsored a day of learning today, but I didn't specify this.
Okay, no.
Today is
Wow.
20th.
I'm sure. I still remember the Leviathan Nation.
It was Dave Lou. No. Dave
Lou was in B'nai Yeshua. He was not?
No. Dave Lou was in B'nai Yeshua.
Are you sure?
Lunos was in Gatterman Music Camp.
Really? For sure. So I came. I know I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
I know I was there.
Yeah, I can't truly believe that it's the 20th, you're saying.
Wow.
This time he made me cry. I know if you saw it. Passionate.
Thank you.
But when I said to my kids, I'm going to sponsor a day of learning, and it's appropriate because I love this class that
right.
I go to for Rabbi Adler. So, yeah, today's the day.
He was such a force for our community. A force.
He was when in his younger years.
Yes.
He was very passionate.
Yes.
Quite a character.
Yeah,
and he loved the Yankees.
Yeah.